We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I like Al Horford for the Celtics. I think he would be a bigger loss than losing Kyrie.
Al truly, genuinely loves Boston. He would do what's necessary to stay.
You don't replace an Al Horford.
Dale Arnold.
They traded for Kyrie Irving, the Celtics did, and ever since then, absolutely nothing has gone right.
Rich Keefe.
And the marathon ends with Minnesota winning in 17 innings.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Being accused by the producer of looking at porn, and I was on Twitter.
Oh, come on. On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Sometimes there's stuff on Twitter that, let's be honest,
oh, it is. I don't know how
it stays
risque up there.
Out there.
It really is. It's basically another porn site. Is what if you're looking in the right places, if you're searching it the right way, if you don't have the parental, you know, guides up there, you could run into some trouble.
So
Dale, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
It's nice to be back with
yes,
you guys again.
Good to have you back.
So I've been out of pocket a little bit because I've been, you know, doing some stuff over the last few days.
Yeah.
So first I heard that Andy Hart basically undressed Mark James over the weekend.
He did.
And then I heard Jermaine Wiggins wanted to talk about Andy Hart undressing Mark James.
Of course he did.
On your show.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Or our show.
Well, it was yours.
Well, they were on for 8 hours. We talked about it for 5 minutes. So that's basically what it was.
That's not what Wiggy had in mind, though, was
no,
it?
No, I think he went a little bit more. But it was good. It was good talking with those guys. Andy Hart was more fired up about the Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby thing than I've ever seen anybody fired up about anything.
He's been unfettered. He's been unshackled.
So. I think he's got a lot of opinions on these things. So that was really good. I'm sure we'll get into
that.
We're going
to talk about that today as well.
That was pretty good.
On the list here.
It was interesting. It was good.
I once again want to thank the nice folks up at Cape Arundel. And I've been involved in this event, well, with former President Bush, 41, the George H.W. Bush Cape Arundel Classic for years and years. I think I've been going up there for almost 15 years. The last number of years I've served as the MC. Obviously, with the passing of Barbara Bush and then ultimately President Bush, the Bush family has kind of taken over this event. It is still near and dear to their heart, still matters a lot to them. And so it was kind of a renewed energy for the whole thing. And,
yeah,
and went up
photo.
For the weekend.
Yeah.
43 was there. They always call them by their numbers because it was
really?
It's too hard to, well, President Bush, which
W.
One?
W.
Yeah, well, they don't say W. They say 43.
Really? W. Now, let me ask you this. Firm handshake, weak handshake,
firm handshake,
somewhere in between.
Very nice, very
nice.
Friendly.
Still the greatest first pitch I've ever seen in my life.
I'll give you a joke. He's a joker, too. So one of the guys that I played with yesterday is from Texas, guy that I've gotten to know over the years, really good guy.
Yeah.
His name is Mark Boozer.
Okay.
Like Emerson, but, you know, he's not that. So he introduces himself to the president, and he says, "Mr. President, my name's Mark Boozer." And President Bush says, "He used to be my name till I stopped drinking."
Well, okay.
Well, it's
still got
some self-awareness there.
Still has it.
He's a funny guy. No, it was a great
good
couple
event.
Of days.
Yeah,
and
good.
A bunch of folks put it all together. A lady by the name of Lana Westcott really runs that whole show up there. And congratulations to her. We made a crap ton of money.
Did you really? Good.
Monday night. Somebody did say to me, This will be my only political comment of the day.
Oh, boy.
Somebody did say to me Monday night.
Famous last words.
Well, we were rolling this. I was doing a live
were
auction.
Were you rolling?
No, I mean, we were rolling it, and we get going, and we made a lot of money Monday night.
Sure.
And somebody said to me, "Do you think the economy of 5 years ago, we would have done what we did tonight?" And the general consensus among those people is, no, you wouldn't have. And the economy is booming.
Point Trump is what you're saying.
And they are willing to spend, and they raised some great money for Gary's house as part of Mercy Hospital. And it was a nice few days. I missed you.
I missed you as well, Dale.
Didn't miss you all that much.
No, it was fine.
I mean, I was on a golf course yesterday in Maine.
It seems like you're doing okay.
It was probably fine. But so much stuff has happened.
It really has.
I hate when people come back from a few days off and they then want to rehash everything. Over the last few days. We won't do that because this is current.
Yeah, this is new.
I heard Jackie McMullen in the Open, and God, she hit the nail on the head, as she always does.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to play for the Celtics.
Doesn't seem like it. It seems like, you know, and I still think that everybody makes a big deal out of, you know, for so many years they never were able to sign any free agents. And it's true. And part of it was they didn't always have money to do it. But still, they never really signed free agents. Then they signed Al Horford. That was a big-time free agent. You know, if you look at where he was in the league, not a top 10 player, but a top 20 player. Like, he was a consistent all-star. He was a really good player, and they got him in free agency. A lot of teams were interested in him a few years ago, and they got him. Now, a couple years ago, they get Gordon Hayward. I would put an asterisk by that, or I would even say that was more a Brad Stevens thing. Now, I know Boston was set up for a pretty good team.
He decided to come here, right?
He did, but if Brad Stevens was the head coach in Milwaukee, I have a feeling Gordon Hayward would have gone to Milwaukee for him. I don't think Boston was on his list for, I mean, he was either going to stay in Utah, where he got drafted, go to Miami, and then Boston. I feel like Boston was on his list because of Brad Stevens. I could be wrong, but I feel like that's what it is. Kyrie didn't choose to go here. He just wanted out of Cleveland. So it really isn't a shock that Kyrie wants to go somewhere. This is the first time in his career that he's going to really be able to pick where he goes. Al Horford, though, is a bit surprising because it sounded like he was going to be a guy who, even if he opted out, was going to restructure, get some more years, get some more money, and stay. But now your top free agent signs a four-year deal, but really a three-year deal with an opt-out, and he's choosing to opt out, and he's going to leave. Also, part of it, though, Dale, has to be he doesn't view the Celtics as an NBA contender.
Well, here's part of this, and the irony here is, for much of the last 3 years, we heard people bitching and moaning about Al Horford. The Average Al nickname that Lou stuck on him.
That was mostly Lou.
No, I know. And people, well, the nickname was mostly Lou.
Yeah, yeah.
But people arguing about, you know, when he's motivated, when he's locked in, he's great, but he doesn't always bring it. And I got the sense that fans kind of wanted him to leave, get that money, use that money, go help get something. And now he's apparently decided to opt out. Now I hear fans going, what? Well, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think because if you have him for, even if he just opts in and you have him for one more year, because the Eastern Conference is so wide open, don't you get the sense that with him, you have a little bit more of a puncher's chance? I think the Bucks are still the best team, but if Kawhi Leonard leaves, it's a very open Eastern Conference. And yeah, he's not going to blow you away. He's not a 2010 guy. He never was a 2010 guy. But if he's 13, 14 points, he's 6-7 rebounds, 4 assists, really good defensively, and also one of the few guys in the entire NBA that doesn't seem to have a monster ego. And maybe part of the problem was he wasn't enough of a vocal leader for the team last year, but I think that was sort of Kyrie's department, and he wasn't going to, you know, step on Kyrie's toes. But I think for the young guys and sort of setting the right example, Horford is very important there. You lose him, and now you're kind of, you don't really know what the identity of this team is right now.
Which opt-out bothers Celtics fans more, Kyrie Irving or Al Horford?
Horford.
Absolutely.
Horford.
Now,
Irving,
clearly not as good a player.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to pretend. Kyrie Irving is a much better player.
Right.
Top 10, top 15, whatever number you want to stick on him, Al Horford isn't. But this seems to be the one, based on the reactions I'm seeing, this is the one that's got people upset.
Because who do you blame more for the dysfunction, and who do you blame more for the playoff early exit? I think it's Kyrie Irving. Well, I know it's Kyrie Irving. You know, Al Horford, again, not the single most talented player in the world, but he's such a steady presence. He is the pro's pro, and I think he was a good influence on those other guys on the team. I really do. I think he was an important guy for them, and the fact that he's leaving, that says a lot. I think that says to him, he's never won a ring. He's been in the league now 12 seasons. He has never won a ring. He's never been to the NBA Finals. So he's looking at the Celtics right now and saying, yeah, Kyrie's leaving, even though Kyrie's a headache. Kyrie's talented. You know, Anthony Davis isn't coming to town. Kyrie's gone, but we don't have enough cap space to get a Kemba Walker or to get an elite top free agent. I'm going to go somewhere else. I also think part of it had to have been the money, because what was the number that the Celtics wanted? He was guaranteed $30 million if he just opts in. So if you say, all right, how about 3 years at 60? Is that enough?
Well, supposedly, I mean, the agent and Al wanted to talk to the Celtics.
Yeah.
Celtics wanted to talk to him. We'll lower the cap number. You know, we'll extend the deal. Everything's great. Everybody's happy. And apparently, within a very short amount of time, kind of both sides went, oh, this isn't going to work.
So here's the silver lining.
So how much
though
was he looking for?
I don't know.
Was he looking for 3 years at $30 million a year?
No, because I think would have been crazy.
Right.
And if that's true, then I'm good with the Celtics not doing that. I think, let's face it, Al Horford, if you're going to pay him that much, if you're going to pay him near the max or at the max, he needs to be the third best player on that max thing. And that's why when they got Gordon Hayward and pre-Gordon Hayward injury, I mean, this is really the biggest issue I think the team has faced the entire time is Gordon Hayward's injury, the lost season because of both of their injuries, then how the young guys looked so good without the All-Stars, and then they just never fit, and Gordon Hayward never resumed All-Star play. But if Irving was a top 10 player, if Hayward was a top 20 player, and if Horford was a top 25 player, that was a formula of getting there. But because Hayward wasn't, I don't think you want to pay Al Horford $25, $30 million 2 years from now. I would stomach it for this year because you say, all right, you keep, you know, enough of this group together. You have his, you know, veteran leadership and impact on the team, his defensive presence and all of that. But then his money's going to come off the books. I don't think you want to commit to Al Horford $25+ million for 2 years. On he's 33 right now, so you want to pay him at 35 to be a $20+ million a year guy. I don't think that'd be the right thing to do either.
NBC Sports Boston did a little 60-second video tutorial trying to explain the salary cap in the NBA.
Oh, you need more than 60 seconds.
And I know. It was one of these little video things. Yeah, yeah. And I give them credit for even trying.
Right, exactly.
Here's the problem with the NBA. Nobody understands it. I mean, no one understands what the hell is going on. We hear Celtics fans call us all the time and say, well, now you've got two guys who've opted out who are making huge money.
Yeah.
You can go sign two max free agents now. No, you can't.
Which is insane. You can't even sign one.
I mean, it is mind-boggling.
You lost two, and you can't sign one. How does that even make any sense? But that's true. That's the reality. Because you're allowed to go over the cap in certain situations, but then you have to make sure you have whatever it is, $32 million, I think, in order to sign a max guy. The Celtics, assuming there's no like sign and trade or anything with Horford, and he just leaves in free agency. And even if they say, see you later to Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris, and all those guys, I think they're at like $28 million. So they can get somebody good, but they can't get that top group of guys. So that's very confusing. And that's the other reason why him opting in, and even though he's not really a $30 million a year player, but the fact that you have room for that and you can go over the salary cap with that,
right,
then that's another reason why you're upset that he's gone. Because I don't know where you would rank him on the team as far as, you know, is he the best player? Is he the fourth best player? Whatever. He's a starter and he's a guy that's going to, you know, help you against other bigs in the league. And now he's gone and you're left kind of grasping at straws.
The worst thing that ever happened to Danny Ainge was Kevin Garnett. Because they get Garnett.
It's also the best thing.
Well, no, but here's,
no, I understand
here's
what
where
you're
I'm
saying,
going with
then you're I know.
They get Garnett. Danny talks him into wanting to stay. They win an NBA title. Garnett loves it here. So everybody from that point on said, oh, don't worry. Danny gets him in here. He'll talk him into it. I mean, it's like, no, don't. Go trade for Anthony Davis. Danny will talk him into signing on here. Nobody wants to come here, and nobody wants to stay here. And everybody thinks that Danny Ainge can sell ice to the Eskimos because he did it with Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, and not only that, I think you combine that with the fact that they won right away. They were one of the worst teams in the league in 07. They made two trades. They won the whole thing in 08. So now you say, well, just make a couple trades and win the whole thing. You'll get a couple guys and you win the whole thing. That trade isn't out there. There isn't a Kevin Garnett out there right now. And if you wanted to say it was Anthony Davis, fine. But the problem with that is, with Kyrie leaving, you would have had to gut so much of your young team. Whereas that 07 Celtics, you could afford to trade away Al Jefferson, Sebastian Telfair, and Gerald Green because you still had Paul Pierce, you still had Rondo, you still had Perk, and you already traded for Allen. So like, you still had a really good team. Whereas if Kyrie walks and you bring in Anthony Davis and now Tatum's gone and Brown's gone and Smart's gone, like, what do you have left? Like, the Pelicans couldn't win anything with just Anthony Davis, and now you're just Anthony Davis. So I think people have pretty much moved on from that. But this one really does come as a surprise because Al Horford is so quiet. Like, think about all the rumors about Kyrie Irving all season long. Brooklyn, oh my God, maybe he's going to reunite with LeBron in L.A. Maybe he's going to go to the Knicks with Durant. There was always rumors with him. Guess what? Al Horford also had a player option. Never heard a peep from him. Never even a thought that he was going to go somewhere else. And I just think he looks around and says, couple of things. One, if I want to win a title, it's not going to be here. And maybe when he originally signed here, he thought that they had a chance. He thought, hey, this is a better option than, I think Washington was one of the other teams that offered him a ton of money, and he chose the Celtics over that. And he also probably Danny Ainge didn't give him as much money as he wanted to over the course of 3 years, and I think that's actually smart by Ainge. I wanted Horford for this year. I don't think I wanted Horford. I don't want Horford for 3 years down the road.
So you're at reset now. I mean, if you're a Celtics fan, you are back at square one reset, and it's not going to be pretty here. I mean, unless Danny can come up with some unbelievable trade out of nowhere, take a look at some of the names that have been linked to the Celtics over the last few days. Stop me when you hit one that excites you.
Well, there's a couple guys I like. They are just, I don't know what you'd have to give up. And I think Bradley Beal's a great player. I think maybe a B-plus player, but he's very, very good. I like Bradley Beal. But if you're talking about kicking in a Tatum or a Brown or somebody like that for it, then I'd rather just take my chance that they develop into a top 15 player down the road.
And don't you kind of expect that, at least in Tatum's case, maybe even more than Brown's, the departure of Irving might help in that development?
Yeah, it shouldn't, but I think it will.
Yeah.
Like, the best player leaving shouldn't be, oh, now it's great. But I think for these guys, but the problem is, for me, when you looked at last year, and you remember that team photo that everybody tweeted out, and it was all five of the guys with their arms crossed, like, oh, look out, Eastern Conference. If I said you had to get rid of two of those players, like you had to get rid of two, it probably would have been Brown and Hayward, right? I think at that point, you said keep Kyrie, again, going all the way back to then, keep Kyrie, Tatum has the most upside, and then Horford's a really good compliment to all those guys. The two that left really screw you the most because there's so much redundancy with like wing scorers in Brown and Tatum and Hayward. They didn't fit well together. Now, I understand there's more shots with Kyrie gone. There's, what, like 20 shots more to go around. But somebody's going to be the starting
unless
point
one
guard.
Guy wants all of them.
I was going to say, unless they bring back Rozier, and then there's a wash because he's going to take all those shots. But there's still that part of it where how does Brown, Hayward, and Tatum fit in together? Because, again, it's not like in the NBA like it used to be where you're a point guard and you're a shooting guard and you're a small forward and you're a power forward. It's not like that anymore. So you can play all three of those guys at once, but they're going to need to play well together. Like if they have any chance at making the playoffs, and I think they still do because the Eastern Conference is going to be wide open. And again, especially with Kawhi Leonard leaving, if Jimmy Butler leaves, like it's going to be a new look Eastern Conference next year. They should still be able to make the playoffs, but it's going to come down to those three guys. Those three guys are all going to have career type years.
Well, a texter jumps in and says, you're not at reset because you have Tatum, Brown, and Gordon. Okay, you do.
So it's not a reset, it's a rebrand.
But is there a superstar among them?
There is a...
Not one.
There is a hope that Tatum in year
might
three
be
is.
Someday.
That's the... And even this year, you're going to have to accelerate it.
There is not a top 10 player. There might not be a top 20 player.
There is not. There's not a top 20 player right now. Hayward's too far down
that list. That's reset.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's close to it. Hayward's such a wild card in all this because he had a few games last year. Remember both games against Minnesota? He had like 30-something points against them. And you're like, here he is. Here's the guy. And then he would just disappear for stretches. So he's a wild card because he has been an all-star in this league. Tatum and Brown, you're waiting for them to take that jump forward and become an all-star in the league. They're not there yet, but they're going to have to be. And like, can you take what they did 2 years ago in the playoffs? Can you sort of take that and project that forward and say, all right, if that there's a lot of responsibility on those guys then, there was no top 20 player on the team then. I mean, maybe Horford was close. He was probably outside of the tournament. I mean, 20, you know, four. But, you know, because he was an all-star. But can those guys take that and improve on it? It's going to be year three for Jason Tatum, year four for Jaylen Brown. That's usually when you go back and look at some of these guys, that's usually when they kind of break through the ceiling.
When they do their postmortems, and my guess is Wick and Danny and Brad Stevens and everybody, Steve Pagliuca, they've already begun this process. When they do the postmortems, what do they point to that says, that's why this year went to hell?
I mean, this is maybe this
Kyrie?
Might be a lazy answer. Yes, Kyrie.
Kyrie's the reason this season went to... Now, obviously, I'm not saying it's never one single thing.
I think it's
But the
Kyrie.
Biggest thing was Kyrie.
I think it's Kyrie and how he got along with everybody and vice versa. Like, he's not alone in this. Again, I just always point to the best player and say, what's going on with the best player? Is he making everybody else better around him or not? I also think Gordon Hayward was a significant part of it. Both the amount of minutes that he got, how poorly for a while that he played, how ineffective he was, but then also the trickle down. And then for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to not be able to see that, hey, you know what? We probably should play Gordon Hayward as much as we can during the regular season to try to knock the rust off, to try to get him going.
See, that leads me to number two.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
A, Kyrie Irving apparently bristled at Brad Stevens' control factor. B, Brad Stevens is the guy who force-fed Gordon Hayward into the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Is Brad Stevens number two on the list?
Yeah, probably. I think so. He got so much credit the first 5 years that he was here because he got the most
out of the
team. And by the
way, I like him a lot.
I do too.
I think he's really good. I know he hasn't won it all yet. Right. I understand all that. I know.
But if that's it, then there's only one good coach every year. Based off of that. So, no, I think he's a good coach, but I think this was a real eye-opening season because you had the talent. Like, he's never, ever, ever in his life had the kind of talent. Like, he's not John Calipari when he was in college, and he just goes out there, gets five McDonald's All-Americans, and goes and tries to win a title. He's never had the most talent. And then this season, he may have had the most talent on paper in the Eastern Conference anyway. Still not the Warriors, but
and they failed.
They failed. So he's definitely high on the list. He took a lot of that blame. Unlike Kyrie, you know, when they were in their post games and when they were wrapping up the season, Stevens admitted this is a bad season. Kyrie had already moved on. He was like, I already got a house in Jersey. I'm all set. But Stevens really, you could tell it affected him. Like he was, and then there was even quotes. Was it Micah Shrewsbury who's on his way out the door to Purdue? He was quoting, he was like, Brad really like beat himself up over the season. Now, I'm not saying he deserves credit because he was having a sad about the year. Like, that's, you should. You lost in the second round after making the conference finals the previous 2 years, and you had more talent this year. But still, he has to be high on that list as well. If we're going to look at him and give him credit when things are going well, you got to obviously take a look at it when things aren't going well.
There are a lot of things that went wrong this year, and unfortunately, it's now gotten worse.
It's really amazing.
Two of your top three or four players are now gone. They aren't gone yet. They can't legally be gone yet, but they're on their way out the door. It's gotten worse.
I mean, if you go to the moment they acquired Kyrie Irving and even the start of the season, let's say right when they tipped the ball off 2 years ago against the Cavs and Gordon Hayward hadn't destroyed his ankle yet, didn't you say they are not better than Golden State? But my hope always was that in 2 years, Kevin Durant was going to leave. I just had that sense. I was like, and that's the way the NBA goes. And I just thought, Kevin Durant's going to win his titles. Then he's going to go on and do something else. So then now Golden State will be mortal. And 2 years ago, you thought the best five-year outlook was the Boston Celtics. And the way things have gone the last 2 years, it's unbelievable. It could not have gone worse.
You can't foresee.
It's no time to be disappointed.
No, thanks, Kyrie.
No, it's not.
No, it's time.
As you sit here right now, it's hard to even envision when they will be
a title
championship,
yeah,
title contending again.
No, it's a more serious conversation. Will they make the playoffs? That's the actual
it's
conversation
actually
right
legit
now
to think in those.
Whereas last year, like, can they
see,
make
now,
it the finals?
You did it to me again. Now yeah. I'm having yeah. a sad.
You should. It's oh, ugly right now. Man. But I think I have the answer.
Oh, good. We'll get to it. 617-779-7937. We got a bunch of stuff we're going to talk about today. We will talk about Nick Caserio and his... and I heard Ben Volen on this morning with Mutt and Callahan.
Yes.
He's exactly right. Caserio wants out.
So it sounds like...
He does not want to be... Speaking of not wanting to be here, a bunch of people don't want to be around here
everybody's
anymore.
Leaving.
Everybody
stay.
Wants out.
Stay.
We'll get to that as the morning goes on as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. But first, an award-winning
Thank
trending
you.
Now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
They traded for Kyrie Irving, the Celtics did, and ever since then, absolutely nothing has gone right.
Right.
Nothing. The Sacramento Kings were good. Since when?
Right.
They were good. The pick wasn't worth as much. You know, the number four pick, the Lakers vaulted that. Gordon Hayward got hurt. Kyrie Irving got hurt. Nothing went right.
No, and the Celtics did nothing wrong. It's not like Danny did anything wrong. It just didn't
go his
way.
He set himself up for the perfect situation, and it's just all in a heap.
I do agree with the concept that Danny didn't do anything wrong. And by the way, he was getting no criticism around here when he did it. It was good for you, Danny. Let's go for it. Let's go.
Right. You know what this is? karma for trading away Isaiah Thomas. You little know, Isaiah
I've
Thomas.
I've heard people say that. You know, Isaiah
the
Thomas.
The curse of Isaiah Thomas.
He loved it here. Yeah. Everybody loved him.
I never said fractured jaw. I said broken upper jaw.
Yeah, whatever.
But anyway, yeah, he had a broken jaw, the whole thing playing right after the death of his sister. You trade him away. And I was in favor of it at the time. I remember getting into a huge argument with Michael.
He fractured his jaw. That's what happened. The elbow hit his jaw.
Yeah. So I understand. But so.
You never said he had a broken jaw.
Said he had a fractured
jaw. Oh, that's totally
jaw.
Different.
It's one of my favorite moments in the history of EEI.
I
the
said
last
he had
years.
A fractured yeah. upper jaw.
Out of context,
said,
OMF.
Yeah, you said broken. No, I said fractured. I don't know the difference. But anyway, they move on from Isaiah Thomas. And again, that was the right move. They trade away these guys. They hung on to just the right amount of Brooklyn picks. Right after the Pierce and Garnett trade, which was the perfect trade at the time, it was absolutely a win for Danny Ainge. They use a couple of them, and then they trade one away, which was the lowest of the group. It was the number 8 pick. So even with all the Kyrie Irving stuff, they really only gave up the number 8 pick, which ended up being Colin Sexton. So that's it. But you got 2 years out of Kyrie Irving. That was still worth
not
it.
Good.
It was
no,
worth it.
It
yes,
wasn't
it was.
Good.
It was. I think it was.
I mean, he had nothing to do with your Eastern Conference final run.
Unless you want to give him some credit. He did play 60 games in the regular season.
But I'm
put
just
him
saying,
in a position
the
to get
the playoff no, run.
Yeah, but home court was so important for them then. If they were a lower seed, they're bounced in the first round.
And I know it's a piddly thing for a lot of people, but I can't help but go back to, you know, you're in the Eastern Conference final. It's game 7. And he can't be bothered to be there?
Well, he had to get nose surgery.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not buying that.
Either
it had to be done that
him?
Day.
It's not good. It's not good. No, he's a horrible teammate, Dale. That's very clear. I tried to make excuses then, but then we find out later on just what a selfish jackass he is. So I'm not making excuses for Kyrie then, but as far as assembling talent, so for anybody that says the Kyrie trade, they shouldn't have done it and it was a failure, obviously you can, I guess with hindsight, you could say that. But let me ask you, were you going to re-sign Isaiah Thomas with a broken hip? Were you just going to?
I know.
Were you just going to stay in the draft?
Well, I said and, yeah. I wasn't killing Danny yeah. when he did
yeah,
it.
I was saying, so that one was fine.
And all of us loved Isaiah Thomas. Everybody did. You know, you wished he could be here forever. He wanted to be here, but you still said, "Okay, I understand. That's yeah. a good move."
So Kyrie Irving leaving is easy to write off because he's an a-hole. Al Horford leaving is much more of a stomach punch because you say, wait a minute, this guy, he's been here for 3 years.
He's the best teammate.
He's
like the quintessential Celtic. He's exactly what you want. And he's saying, you know what, I got to go.
Now you're like, what are we as a franchise now? You sign him as one of the biggest free agent signings in franchise history. And all season long, I remember saying, well, he's got a $30 million player option. He's not going anywhere. Like, he's clearly going to pick that up. Nope. He goes, I'm going to see you later. And I'm fascinated to see what the number is that he signs with. Because won't that be a big part of it, too?
Well, if it's 4 years, $100 million, you're going to say, okay.
I'll say fine.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things about it. I think it really hurts now, but Danny Ainge also has to think long term. And the two best players on your roster right now are 21 and 22. So you have to think long term. And do you want you want to be paying 34, 35, 36-year-old Al Horford $27 million? I don't.
Even though I thought he was the quintessential Celtic.
So do I.
The group
yes,
you
yes,
had.
Yes, and I'm not trying to dump him on the way out the door.
No.
Don't get me wrong. I wanted him to just pick up his player option and see what the team looked like this year. I wanted him this season. I don't want him long term. And that clearly was the discussion. And Horford and his agent realized that, hey, other teams will give me guaranteed money right now long term. And he probably went to the Celtics and said, I'll give you that chance. Assuming the number we can agree on. And Danny Ainge probably offered him something that was not good enough, and now he's going to go somewhere else, and he's going to go to a team that is more of an NBA contender. But long-term, like, Al Horford was a fringe top three player on a title team to me. That was then. Now, there's no way. And if you're paying him that kind of money, that's going to affect what else you can do down the road. So I'm.
But the gut punch, to take yes, your analogy yeah. one step further, the gut punch for Celtics fans is, no, that does not mean you can go out and sign a max contract guy now.
Right.
You still can't.
Right.
You've lost two guys who, you know, making $30 million apiece, and you still can't go get one.
So do you want to know how we solve this?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to know?
Well,
so right.
Hold
now,
on. Let's make sure Danny's listening right now.
No, I told him about the pizza party, and obviously that was a little too late for
yeah,
that.
Well,
no, it didn't work. He said they thought about it. They didn't execute it. So we have on the Celtics next year, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, right? There's at least four guys. What are you missing there? Oh, I don't know. A big guy? Maybe a tall guy? You ready? You sitting down? Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins
wait a minute.
Answer. He is going to solve the problems for the Celtics.
Did you just not have an attitude problem walk out the door?
Where's the one coming in? I don't see one coming in.
Boogie Cousins is great.
They love Boogie there. The teammates don't like Boogie. The refs don't like Boogie.
Not much.
Some of his previous coaches don't like Boogie. Boogie's the answer. A matured Boogie, a guy, he'll get you 25 points, 15 boards. He'll set a nice screen. Underrated passer.
Nice screen.
He's a huge guy.
He'll toss a shoe.
I think he put on a lot of weight, too, after the injury.
He might give you a little elbow on his way by.
He was, in one word, I would say lumbering up and down the court in the NBA Finals. But you give him a few more months to recover, and you say, hey, Boogie, we need you. We need you here. I want him to mentor the young kids. I want him to mentor the young guys. I want him to come in here. I'd put the C on his jersey immediately.
Do you eat with the same mouth you're saying this stuff with?
Yes, I do.
It's got to make stuff taste horrible.
All right, Dale, what's your plan for the Celtics?
I don't know, but that ain't
it. It's Boogie Cousins. I say you come in here, you put the C on your jersey.
C, which, by the way, other than hockey, don't put C's on jerseys for anybody.
No, what about?
I hated when Veritek had it on.
What about the captain?
Yeah, no, it's not a great look.
You could still be a captain.
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't want him as a captain. Yeah. But don't put a C on his jersey.
I think he'd be great.
No captains in football? You don't like the C on the jersey there either?
No. I don't even.
Hockey bias.
The Patriots don't do that. They don't go with those little decal things with the, you know, the stars and everything.
Boogie is a career 21-11 player for his career. 3 assists per game. Again, he shoots a nice percentage at the free throw line.
Nice percentage.
He's added the 3-point shot to his game
recently.
Oh,
yeah, that's what I want is Boogie.
He's nice.
Standing out there lumbering out and hoisting 30-footers.
Whatever he wants to do. You come in here. What's the alternative? I dare anybody all day. We're here till 2 o'clock. What's a better alternative than Boogie, who's a free agent? And you can sign him. Sign him to a nice contract. Get him in here early. He can come on the show.
He's a guest on the show anytime he wants. Didn't Boogie say that there were folks in Boston who were saying some racially insensitive things about
him? We'll find those people, Boogie, and we'll get him out of the city.
I'm going to suggest he might not want to come here any more than anybody else wants to.
In fact, he might
want to come here less than everybody else
wants to. Nobody
wants
to come here. They're screwed. They're pork, they're goosed, and screwed.
All of the above. Everything.
they're in a lot of trouble right now, all right? So desperate times call for desperate measures. DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
By the way, he doesn't even like Boogie anymore.
Whatever he wants me to call him. Sir, I'll call him.
He'll call him.
As long as
he'll
show
up. If he wants.
I don't care. He's a double-double machine, this guy. Who do they got? They got the Time Lord and Aaron Baines. Who's their big guys? Yabusele? DeMarcus Cousins. Sign him up. Healthy as an ox right now, coming off of that Achilles.
Who do you think's faster, Yabusele or Cousins?
I don't know.
It's not track and field.
Who's faster amongst that relay race
with those guys? It's not the 40-yard dash. I don't care what his 40-yard dash is.
Wait a second. Whoa, stop for a second.
Can he dunk in your face?
You've told me
hook?
On this program numerous times, the most important thing
is what?
It's how fast you are.
I've never said that. Have you ever heard that quote?
I don't believe I've heard
100 times you have said the 40 times.
The most important thing is how fast you are?
Yes, you have said that many times in this program.
I've never
said 40
that.
Time.
I like fast guys in football. I was a big Jeff Demps fan. It didn't work out here.
He liked the three-cone drill. He likes a good three-cone drill.
That's good. So do the Patriots. Look at all their guys. High three-cone. In basketball, it doesn't matter as much. You're never really going full speed all that often. DeMarcus Cousins can back you down. He can shoot the three.
He can back you down.
Toughness.
All right.
He's got a huge
butt. You're not getting around that butt.
No, you're not. He's huge. He's a big guy. He is big. He's an intimidating presence out there.
Let's be honest. Yabusele, just two wagons next to each other. No one's getting off of that pick and roll.
A couple guys boxing out. Look at that.
And let's be honest, a single man double screen. If nobody was opting out here, your best move would still be Boogie Cousins.
It'd be on my list.
You've been infatuated with this guy.
It'd be on my list for sure. I would absolutely sign him. What are the other options? Oh, like Wiggy was like, well, they could trade for James Harden. At least I'm giving you a realistic option.
Yeah, that one. That's probably not very realistic. even if they will trade him, I don't think you've got quite what you need. Take a look at the package that Anthony Davis just got. Probably not going to happen.
No.
617-779-7937. Your call's coming up next. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio W.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
BEI.
And now Horford's out. Now Horford, we thought, could potentially opt out because it was 1 year left. Guy's in his mid-30s. It's $30 million. All right, let's shorten the money and lengthen the deal.
That was the thought with Boston.
That's what the thought was a couple hours ago, Scott. And I'm texting guys right now going, you know, Dallas could be in play. I don't know if he would go to Brooklyn with Kyrie, but Al Horford may have looked at it going, this isn't even an anti-Boston thing. This is me just looking around going, we thought we were going to be the best team in the East for years to come, and now I see teams that are better than us, and I may have to go chase it somewhere else.
Oh, but everything's fine. We're good. Everything's great.
We need to come up with a new word. They're not
goose.
They're not
porked, and there's got to be a
screwed. Yeah, screwed. Goose porked. What are they really?
Kyrie'd.
They're Kyrie'd. They might be Kyrie'd here.
Canned.
Nah, that's not good.
Canned.
That means you've been fired. No.
Yeah. No. They haven't. Well,
toast.
I don't know what they are. Toast. They might be toast. Oh, what a change of events this has been for the.
All right, let's get to the call. 617-779-7937. Paul's in Abington. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Okay.
I what's tough about today's media and everything is that you get 1,000 reports a day, it seems. Every time I turn the TV on, turn the radio on, there's so many reports out there, who's going here and who's going where. When you guys just played that clip, with Horford, I got to believe it has to do with, you know, he looked at the situation and says, hey, listen, I don't know if I have a shot of winning the championship here now with the way the other teams have been constituted. So there's not a superstar on this team yet. And, you know, when you use that term between Brown and Tatum, I think a lot of times we overvalue our own players, but neither one of them are top 30 players yet. So I personally think you need to utilize that Memphis pick and maybe a package it with either Smart or either Brown or Tatum and try to bring a superstar in here.
Yeah, I mean, that might be what they have to do, and that's why, like, Bradley Beal's name has come up, and I just, even then, you're going to have to give up, potentially, on either Tatum or Brown in order to get Beal, who's a really good player. Like, that's sort of where he's at, to me. Like, he was an all-star, 25 points per game, but there are certain guys like DeMar DeRozan, Bradley Beal, and a few others that are top 20, but then you're like, all right, well, what are you? Like, if that's your best guy, like, what are you? Don't you almost just want to take the lottery ticket that is Tatum and Brown and hope that they both turn into being great players? I think you're almost forced into that right now. Because if you give up one of those guys, forget the money for a second. You give up one of those guys and that Memphis pick, which is a potential number one pick 2 years from now. And you
2 years from
and
now.
And you get Bradley Beal. What are you? How good are you?
You're no better than you are right now.
You kind of solidify a playoff spot, I guess, but that's
maybe.
It. Yeah, that's it. Like your ceiling is, I don't know, probably not even as high. That one is frustrating. I think you have to just hope for these two guys. That's the best bet, I think.
So A. Sherrod Blakely tweeted out the following. A team to keep an eye on in the Al Horford sweepstakes is the Brooklyn Nets.
Get out of town.
League source says.
Get out of town.
The Nets are a team on the rise.
Are they?
Al's close ties to head coach Kenny Atkinson and the team's cap space mentioned as the main reasons. So Al Horford is going to go stick himself back in front of the Kyrie Irving bus Brooklyn.
Now, I understand they played well last year, but D'Angelo Russell was an all-star, and he's a restricted free agent. And either he's gone or he's there, and him with Kyrie I don't think is going to work. And now Kyrie and Horford... Is the surrounding cast there going to be even any better than it is here? I don't think so. And again, maybe that's just me, as the caller said, overvaluing our own guys. Maybe there's part of that. I think what's going to be really fascinating with Horford is where he goes and for how much. Because then you'll really get a sense of, why is he not here in Boston? Is it because he's trying to get a title, or is it a money thing? If he goes to Brooklyn, or if he goes to Dallas, which Russillo just said there, that's not a title thing. Like, yeah, those teams aren't crap, but that's not a title thing. Like, if he goes to Golden
State, Kyrie and Horford doesn't make you a title contender.
No. Did you see this year? Did you watch this season?
Sort of. Well, yeah,
no,
I mean,
no, Dale, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Probably not.
No,
yeah.
No, it doesn't.
When we thought it was going to be Kyrie and Durant, that's saying, okay. That,
yeah, so if Horford played, if Durant was healthy and Horford jumped on board with Kyrie and Durant, then yes, that'd be the best team in the East, and you get. I understand that. But no Durant for the upcoming season is really also one of the major storylines, because that opens up the whole league, I think. I know the Lakers are going to be the favorite. Let's see what they do with their roster. They're trying to manipulate another max spot. I don't know how they're going to do that, but I guess there are certain ways they can. They're going to be the favorite, but even still, it's going to be more wide open than it's ever been.
Mike's calling on the cell. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. I listen every day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm really optimistic about the Celts here. And
what?
I'm glad, like,
you're pulling our leg here, Mike? All right.
Okay.
All right.
Brad Stevens was good in college, you know, and when he came here, I was really interested to see how he did.
Okay.
And 3 or 4 years ago, what I enjoyed the most is watching how the team grew and how they grew together. You know, he's a young coach, always handled college players.
Yeah.
We learned this year he doesn't know how to coach a superstar or deal with a diva.
Right.
So that keeping this core, his game plan has already proven that we hung with the Cavaliers when LeBron was there. We beat Golden State in the home court, beat him good a couple of times. So his game plan works. Uh-huh. I think you're right. We definitely need a big. But if we can get somebody, you know, these younger players.
But Mike, don't you think that there's sort of a limit to how much you can get out of lesser talent? Like, you probably can get to a conference final, but you're never going to win the whole thing if you don't have a top 10 player on your roster.
Okay, so, but we're not going to get there this year.
Right.
So, I'm thinking 2 years down the road that we need a big. If we can get some humble superstars in here at top 20.
Oh, yeah, those are growing on trees.
They're all over the place.
You know what I mean.
I understand what you're saying.
Not the Davis, you're right.
How exactly are you going to get onto Tecumpo here?
Bribery. If you continue to progress this year and show that your style's still working, these younger players. Gordon Hayward's going to step up this year, too.
100%. Oh, my God, yeah. 100% he has to. But I mean,
thanks, Mike.
Yeah, Boogie. There you go. Mike gets it. Boogie Cousins. That's your answer. I also wonder, because Tatum seemed to be the one guy that Kyrie was kind of friendly with on the team. Let's say Tatum does turn into a superstar. Do you think he's going to respect Brad at all? I feel like that's sort of the thing.
That well has been poisoned already.
I do. I wonder if those two guys are really going to get along.
Nick's down on the Cape. Hey, Nick. How you doing?
How are you?
Good.
What's up?
Alrighty, so I do agree with the DeMarcus Cousins thing.
Thank you.
But there are four guys the Celtics should target, and it's Isaiah Thomas, Rondo, Julius Randle, and DeMarcus Cousins.
I love it.
Hang up and let you guys discuss it.
I love it. And while we're at it, Kelly Olynyk, Jonas Derebko, Jake Crowder.
I mean, they're available. Guys. Let's get the band back
together. I do like the Julius Randle one. Julius Randle's good. He's opting out of his deal. He's a free agent. He was like a 21-10 guy last year. Obviously not on a great team, but I would take Julius Randle. They drafted Marcus Smart ahead of him back in the day. I would take Randle.
Believe it or not, there's...
See, we're coming up with ideas here. It's not
none
all
of them
bleak.
Seem to be very good, to be honest with you.
I think the Cousins one's pretty strong. Well, he's a
why
mountain
would,
of a
why
man.
Would he want to come here?
They're a title contender.
They're not.
Maybe they'll pay him the most. I don't know.
And they can't, and they won't. And anyway, there's some Patriots news out there, including Tom Brady making news again. He doesn't just make news, he breaks news. We'll try to sort it out when we come back. 617-779-7937, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.